It's good to be with you this morning. Basin, you can figure from the songs we'll be talking about building our house on the Lord. We've been studying for the last few weeks from the Gospel of Luke, from what's sometimes referred to as the Sermon on the Plains. And Jesus truly ends with, where do we build our house? Do we build our house on the rock? And that's what we'll be considering this day as we go through that. If you walk around, you notice little kids. And when you notice little kids, you look up and you see their parents. And often the little kids look like their parents. Sometimes they don't look exactly like their parents, but they still act like their parents. What we'll be talking about today is us being little kids acting like our parents. We should be children of God. And just as a child reflects their parents and their values, the traditions, and the things, how they even act, we need to be reflecting our Heavenly Father. And we're going to talk this morning about being true children of God, and do we reflect God in our lives. When you see a child, you can usually pick out who their parents are. When somebody sees you, can they pick out who your parents are? Do you reflect Jesus in your life so that when somebody sees you, they say, you know, that's a child of God? Is that how people explain or talk about you? Do we really reflect Christ in our lives?
Amen.
And that's what we'll be taking a look at today. When somebody sees us, do they see our Father? Do they see God in our lives so that we reflect Jesus in our lives? If you look back with me to the end of where we were starting last week, this was in Luke chapter 6. And listen to the last few verses. Verse 35. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons or children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful because your Father is merciful. We want to start thinking about what does it mean to be a child of God. And Jesus says in these few verses some of what it means to be a child of God. It means that we're merciful. And being merciful means that we forgive and are grateful to those who don't deserve it, who are ungrateful. One of the great examples in the Bible is, if you look over to 1 Kings, last week we looked at the example of Solomon. And here was a man that had been given everything, but his heart turned away and God took it all away from him. In 1 Kings chapter 21, we see another man that lost everything. He was another king of Israel and in some ways a powerful great king. He was Ahab, and he had a wife called Jezebel. And throughout history, the name Ahab and Jezebel now just goes down as being evil. In fact, Jezebel is still with us today. Somebody would be called a Jezebel. We know what they refer to. In chapter 21, Elijah comes up to Ahab. And he tells Ahab of God's judgment against him. And listen to what the prophet Elijah says. He says, I have found you, he answered, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. I am going to bring disaster on you, and I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave and free. If you remember last week, we talked about one of the things the kings desired was to leave a name, to leave a dynasty for themselves. Not only is the dynasty going to be taken away from Ahab, Elijah tells him that every single son that he has is going to be destroyed. There's not going to be any descendants even left alive from the house of Ahab because of his great sins. In verse 25, it says, there was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. But now look down to verse 27 and 28. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went about meekly. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring disaster in his days, but I will bring it on the house on the days of his son. God showed mercy to even a king as evil and as wicked as Ahab. He truly is a merciful God. And we need to think about, do our lives reflect the mercy that God reflects?
Amen.
Are we merciful and forgiving of those around us? And that's what Jesus brings us through. Remember last week, we talked about the golden rule. And how if we would just practice the golden rule, if we would do unto others as we would have them or like them to do unto us, how all of our relationships would just sort of fall into place. There's never a command greater than just to practice the golden rule in our lives. In the next few verses, Jesus is going to bring into our lives, what does that really mean? Not just with each other, but even our relationship with God depends on how we practice the golden rule. Listen to what Jesus goes on to say in verse 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Amen.
How do we want God to treat us? Have you ever thought about how you want God to treat you? Most of the time, if you just listen to your prayers, you know what you want God to do. We often pray. We pray for our health. We pray for our jobs. We pray for the things that are pressing about us. Sometimes we pray for somebody else in our family that may be in trouble for some kind or in sickness. These are the things we pray for. So if you think about how we want God to treat us, we want Him to answer these prayers that we give, don't we? We want God to hear our prayers and answer them the way that we pray them. We want God to treat us the way we want to be treated. Don't we want God to practice the golden rule with us? Isn't that really what's reflected in our prayers? That we want God to treat us with the golden rule.
Amen.
What Jesus is saying in these verses is, if you want God to treat you that way, then that's the way you need to treat each other.
Yeah.
If you want God to show you the golden rule, you need to practice it in your life. We talked about practicing it with each other. But Jesus brings down your very relationship to God depends upon how you treat one another. If you're judgmental, how's God going to treat you? He's going to be judgmental and harsh. Do we like to be criticized? Do you like somebody to be harsh with you and always critical and always picking at you? None of us like that, do we? So if we do that, what Jesus is saying, that's the way God's going to treat you. You want God to be merciful to you? You learn to be merciful to each other. You want God to be generous with you? Then learn to be generous with each other. Jesus has said, with the same measure that you give to each other, that's the measure God's going to give back to you.
Yes,
you start living the golden rule, you're still going to start receiving the golden rule. And that's what Jesus brings us to in these few verses. Is a lot more than sometimes what goes around comes around. Our very relationship with God is dependent upon our relationship with each other. How we judge, how we don't judge, how generous we are, how stingy we are. Our actions with each other is going to be reflected with God's actions towards us. He says, with the same measure that you use, so it's going to be used with you. So with the measure that we use, with all that we are, is the way God's going to give back to us.
Amen.
In the next few verses, Jesus is going to go on from talking about the golden rule to talk about the character we're supposed to have. If we're supposed to be a child of God, this is the character. He starts off this section we just read with judgment. He's going to come back with that idea. One of the things that Jesus hits very hard in this section is this idea of not being critical or judgmental with each other. It's so easy for us to do. It's easy to find fault with each other. But it's not so always easy to find that same fault within ourselves. Listen to what Jesus has to say, beginning in verse 39. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they both fall into a pit? A student is not above the teacher, but everyone is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank or the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see more clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now in this section, Jesus brings us two ideas that I want you to think about with me. The first is, who do you let influence you? Who do you listen to? Jesus brings us out with a teacher, that we become like our teachers. Do we think about that? Think about our young people. We bring in a youth minister or a teacher to teach our young. They're going to become like their teacher. So if you want them to have values of hard work or high ethics, then you need to bring in a teacher that has that. They're not going to become anything more than what the teacher is. And that goes for us too as an adult. We need to think about, who do we listen to? Because he said the blind will lead the blind. In other words, whoever you follow after as a teacher, the very idea is that you don't know. They know. They're the teacher. And so if they're leading you wrong, if they're blind leading you into a hole, you don't know that. Amen. Because you follow after them. The important needs to be then, who do you allow to influence you? Who do you listen to? Who is your teachers? And that's something I think sometimes we don't think enough about. We allow ourselves to sort of be led and we listen to the wrong voice. We need to think about who we listen to, who we let influence our lives. This whole section, of course, Jesus is saying, I should be your teacher. But too often, we listen to things of this world. We listen to our friends. We listen to the things that we hear around us. And we don't listen to the voice that we should be listening to. But we're going to become like the voice that we listen to.
Amen.
The next section he brings in is very similar to the judgment that he talked about before. And the very idea that we would try to take a spat or try to be real critical with our neighbor when we ourselves have a whole big plank or much more in ourselves. Judgment needs to start with ourselves, and we need to be careful how we judge at all is what Jesus is saying. He says, you're not really able to judge each other. You need to be careful how you judge. Look with me over to Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul brings out the idea that we are to judge to some degree. It's dependent upon us to help each other. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 1. He says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him. Now, that's an easy thing to say. We see somebody caught in trouble or caught in a sin and then being dragged away. We need to go to that person. And that takes some judgment and discernment to do it. But notice what Paul says next. It's almost exactly what Jesus says. He said, we should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted.
Amen.
Be careful. Because you yourself can be tempted in the same temptation or another temptation. You yourself can fall. Being judgmental and critical is one of the things Jesus repeats in this section. We need to be careful how we treat each other, how we judge each other. We need to be there for each other. As we talked about on Wednesday night in Hebrews, the idea that we can be a help to each other. And we should be. But we need to be very careful how critical and how harsh our judgment is with each other. And the very idea that we even can judge each other is something we need to think about. Look over to 2 Corinthians. And notice what Paul says to the church of Corinth about judging each other. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Notice what Paul's saying? If there's ever anyone that was able to judge another church and other people, it would have been the Apostle Paul. But he doesn't judge the church at Corinth. He tells the church to judge themselves. And so should we be careful in judging each other. We should judge ourselves. And when we get through the next section, Jesus talks to us about how our lives truly should be judged and how we should reflect the Lord. Look at what he says about the example that we set as Christians. One of the things I don't know if we think enough about, do we set the example that we need to set for one another? Listen to what Jesus says in verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from a thorn bush or grapes from a briars, or a good man brings good tidings out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil out of the things stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. We need to think about the examples that we set and make sure that our lives are truly reflecting. But we need to be careful here, too. Somebody will say, well, we can judge each other by the fruits that we bear. I was in another church. This is many years ago now. But we used to make most of our decisions in what we call men's business meetings. And we had one men's business meeting one time, and at that time, the church was under a little bit of stress. We just built a new building, and we really didn't have quite as much money as we needed. And there was a lot of stress when we came to the business meeting about what we were going to do and what we weren't going to do. And one of the men there became very angry, and he stormed out. About 2 or 3 years later, we had another meeting, and at that time, we were trying to find an elder. Because we had two elders, but they were both very old, and we needed a third elder. And this particular man that had lost his temper 3 years before was brought up to be an elder. I personally thought he would have made a very good elder. But a couple of people there said, well, don't you remember what he did 3 years ago when he lost his temper? And sometimes we do that very same thing. Somebody may have made a mistake 2 or 3 years ago, and we bring that up as something that's always there. And we don't have the idea that all of us do make mistakes. Jesus is not saying you're never going to make a mistake. But we need to be careful how we judge each other. Amen. And even though some of us may from time to time, we do make mistakes. Doesn't mean that mistake has to follow us all the years of our lives. The very idea that we are forgiven in the Lord means that we can make a mistake and still be forgiven. We need to think about how we judge each other. And not hold our past against us and realize that we need to be bearing fruit. In other words, we need to be reflecting Christ in our lives. But that doesn't mean that we're any of us going to be perfect in our doing that. When I was a scout, one of the things we did is we learned how to identify trees by their leaves. And to get the Nature Merit Badge, you had to identify 40 different trees by the leaves. And it's easy to do a lot of trees, an oak and a maple and a yellow poplar. Those trees are pretty easy. But there's a lot of trees that their leaves look a lot alike. And it's not so easy. So we need to be careful how we judge each other. Sometimes it's not so easy to judge someone's actions and to think we know what fruit they're bearing. We need to be careful how we look at each other and how we judge. This whole section Jesus talks about is that idea of not being so critical. In Romans 14, Jesus brings out the idea, or Paul brings out the idea, that we each are servants of Christ. And who are we to judge each other's servants? Do we not know that each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of God? Yeah. God will judge each one of us. We don't need to be always that we're the judge. Yeah. Throughout this whole section, Jesus brings out the idea of how we treat each other, and especially how critical and how judgmental we are. But he also does bring out the idea that we are to bear fruit. We are to reflect Christ in our lives. It's a whole lot more than just saying that I am a Christian. We need to truly be living our Christianity. And Jesus brings that up in this next section. Listen to the last section. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice. He is like a man who's building his house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Do we think about what we really build our lives upon and what our lives reflect? Look over with me to 1 John. John has a way of bringing things out in a very plain way. And sometimes we think the Bible is hard to understand. John makes things so they're very easy to understand. Listen to what he says about being a child of God. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." Now look down to verse 10. "This is how we know who the children of God are and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, Amen. Nor is anyone who does not love his brother." Now that's pretty easy to say.
Yeah.
The person that does not do what is right, we know what's right and wrong. A lot of times we want to get around it. But John says, you know what's right, you know what's wrong. If you do what's right, you're a child of God. If you do what's wrong, you're a child of the devil. It's as easy as that. And then he brings out the second one. Anyone who does not love his brother is not a child of God. The second requirement is to love. As we started this whole section last week, and continuing this week, the idea of loving, treating each other the way with honor and respect is what he's talking about. That's what the love that God wants us to have for each other. Look with me at a couple passages from the Old Testament as we conclude our lesson. Look over to Psalms 1. The very first psalm that we're given in the great book of Psalms brings out the idea that our scripture reading this morning does, and the song that we sang of building our house on the rock. Listen to Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, on which the law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, whose yield is fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff, and the wind blows them away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, in closing, turn with me back to Jeremiah. This is the passage we started this morning. Jeremiah 17. Now I want to start with 17 verses 8 and 9 and then read the next two verses as conclusion for our lesson this morning. In Jeremiah 17, listen to what he says. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends down its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaf is always green. It has no worries in the year of drought. And it never fails to bear fruit. But now look at the next two verses. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward the man according to his conduct, according to what deeds he deserves. Notice what Jeremiah the prophet says. Is it, do you know someone's heart? Most of us might say, well, that person has a good heart. I've heard people describe people that way. Well, they mean well. They have a good heart. Jeremiah says, you can't tell someone's heart. But God can. God can look and know someone's heart. Amen. But notice it doesn't even say God's going to judge you on your heart. He says, I know your heart. I'm going to look at your heart, but I'm going to judge you on your conduct, on the things that you do. You notice what Jesus started this section? He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? It's one thing to hear God's word. It's one thing to say that it's in our hearts and that we believe it and we live it. But we have to truly live it. We're going to be judged on the things that we do, on our conduct, on our behavior. Not what we say we believe, not the things that we say that we hear. Jesus said, don't tell me I'm your Lord if you do not do the things that I say. Jeremiah, many years before even that, said that God's going to judge you on your conduct, on the things that you do. Not the things that you say, not the things that you meant to do, but the things that you do. You will be judged by your conduct. And Jesus said, don't call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say. We need to be doing the things. We need to be reflecting that we are truly children of God. Amen. This morning, think about your life. Do you really practice the golden rule? In this whole section, it really revolves around that one verse. Do we truly do unto others as we would have them do unto us? Do we really do that? Do we really do what is right? We know what's right and wrong. Do we do what's right and not do what's wrong, or do we try to get around it? Do we try to rationalize and say, well, I can just do a little. Do we do what's right? Are we truly loving each other? You remember those were the two requirements that John said, if you're a child of God, you do what's right and you love your brother. These commands aren't hard. It's not hard to understand that. Each one of us can understand that. We understand what the golden rule is. And Jesus ends this whole section with, don't call me Lord if you don't do the things that I say. This morning, is your life reflecting the things that Jesus says? Are you living your life as a child of God? Maybe you've never put Christ on, really given Him your life. Why not be baptized into His death? And just as Christ arose, you can arise to walk a new life with Him. Or if you've already started that walk, but you really haven't reflected Christ in your life, why not start this very day living as a child of God? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as a guest of the standard center?